clinical disclaimer. This podcast is focused on education and entertainment. While we love to help and teach, it is not meant to be used as a replacement for clinical services. If you are experiencing significant relationship issues or major concerns in your sexual, physical, or mental health, please seek the services of a professional provider near you.
Welcome to the University of Pleasure,
where we have sexual conversation to help build a happier nation.
I'm Dr. Tara Jansen, licensed psychologist and certified sex therapist.
And I'm Jeremiah James, and I'm just a guy who likes talking about sex. Yo, Doc.
Hey, what's up?
Is that what the kids are saying? Yo.
That is, what's up?
What's up?
Yo, how you? I have no idea. I'm completely disconnected from youth culture.
Yeah, me too. Kind of makes me feel old. Hello, out there, folks, listening to the University of Pleasure. We hope you are all safe and all healthy. And again, please stay home and stay safe. And thank you to all of those people out there, those frontline workers, everybody from those who are taking care of our groceries to those who are helping in the hospitals. We really appreciate everything you do for us.
And delivering stuff.
Big time.
A lot of people out there delivering stuff, taking risks, taking chances. Good people.
Good people. Agreed. Thank you to everyone out there helping. It's good to be back, Doc. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm liking this ponytail, the updo that she's got going on. You can't see it, folks, but she's got a really great updo going. Yep. I'm digging it. She's in like circa 1994, I want to say flannel. Are you wearing boots under there? You got boots down there?
No, bare feet today. Oh. It's a casual.
Because I was like, oh man, this is like grunge rocker central, like circa 92, 93, 94-ish.
I have a pair of Docs I could take out right now, you know?
Really. That's awesome. All right. Let's get to it here. So we did announce a couple of weeks ago our publishing arm, the University of Pleasure Publishing, for our first book, Amy, book one, Swing Sense.
Very exciting.
Written by what?
Very exciting.
Very exciting. We're very excited about that. That's going to be up very soon on the website, and there will be information about submitting your manuscripts to the University of Pleasure Publishing Wing, or arm, which we haven't officially decided on, or maybe we haven't. I just don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll chat.
We'll chat. Okay. The doc will clarify.
All of this made us sound horrifically organized.
I know. So, listen, I look at it this way.
Please trust us with your creative works. Thank you.
It's going to be fine because it's all going to be there and up on the date that it's supposed to be. And that's all that matters. But more information about that coming. And we're about to jump into our first topic. And here it is. Not everyone's going to like you. Giving less fucks about romantic and sexual rejection. Okay. I don't like to be rejected. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's not a thing I'm a fan of. And I think a lot of our listeners can understand that rejection is hard sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel very confident saying that most people, like the broad majority of people, do not enjoy the experience of being rejected.
Okay, good. So I'm not alone.
No, I don't think you're alone.
Well, I'm glad not to be alone, but help me not give as many fucks, Doc, please.
Okay. Well, I think before we get in maybe the what to do portion, and maybe just I might talk about rejection just for a little bit, if that's okay. Right. Because I think that this is this idea of rejection. Like, as you said, nobody likes to feel rejected. Everybody likes to feel accepted, right? Like it's a really common human experience, right? But fear of rejection is a really major fear that for some people, not all, right? But for a lot of people can really interfere with people kind of taking healthy risks around relationships and sex, right? So it's pretty relevant to a lot of the stuff we talk about. I think This particularly comes into play in dating or trying to develop romantic or sexual relationships with other people, where people can get really, just really paralyzed by that fear, right? When they think about somebody saying no to them, if they're going to ask them on a date or maybe not wanting to do the thing that they want to do in the bedroom, it has this tendency to kind of shut people down.
Got it. Okay. But this fear of rejection, I mean, it could stymie the fun that people could possibly have. So how are we going to process this?
Well, I think that, like, one of the things is the way that people think about rejection, right? We often treat rejection like it's the end of the world, right? We treat it like it's this really big deal. And one of the things that we forget, and that we often forget, is that we're all going to get rejected sometimes. And frankly, we're constantly rejecting other people, right? I doubt that there are many people out there that really, like, every person they meet, every single person they see, they want to sleep with, they want to have a romantic relationship with. Probably not, right? You might see some person on the bus and look at them and think, oh, not you, right? Like,
right,
you might not verbalize that out loud. You might not be in a dating scenario.
Man, I would hope not. Could you imagine just being, like, on the bus and somebody, like, looked at you and went, oh, whoa, not you.
Right.
That'd be rough.
And very rude, right?
Very, very disrespectful and rude.
And very rude. But my basic point is I think that none of us want to be rejected, but we forget that we are also constantly rejecting other people, especially, like, let's say you think of something like Tinder, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there are some people out there that are always swiping right, but I have a suspicion that most people throw in a left every once in a while.
Just every once in a while.
Or if not relatively frequently, right? And I think that sometimes we kind of struggle with this myth that, like, somehow we are immune to then being rejected ourselves. And that's kind of a problem, right? And it's not being very realistic with ourselves about what this might be. And that doesn't mean that you need to like it. That doesn't mean that you need to look forward to it. But I think part of it is about rethinking this idea that rejection is this sort of catastrophic thing, and that if it happens to you, that somehow that means something really problematic about you or has some really deep meaning about, like, who you are as a person. Because in reality, this is a really normative experience of life, to both reject others and be rejected.
Okay, well, I'm more in the club of, I like rejecting others and not being rejected. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's a club that people often want to be a part of.
Okay, like, yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like, there are certain people that maybe have certain privileges where they do experience less, like, dating rejection or romantic rejection, right? Like, it's a total rabbit hole and I'm not going to go down it, right? But, like, some people might have some stereotypical attributes that, like, a lot of people describe as being what we see as beautiful or attractive, right? And maybe those people have less experiences in rejection than, say, somebody that doesn't have those attributes. But at the same time, people are still experiencing rejection, right? Like, please write in and let me know if you are an individual that has literally never experienced any form of rejection ever in your life. Like, everyone you've liked or had a crush on has always liked you back, and they've always given you everything you wanted. If you're that person, please write us here at the University of Pleasure, because we want to interview you and I want to hear your story.
Because sorry, I'm writing you this letter right now. I'm just typing.
Are you writing that?
I'm writing it for you.
From Jeremiah.
I've never been rejected. I'm kidding. Not only am I kidding, I'm going to tell you a very painful story that happened to me a few years ago with the advent of Tinder. There was this woman that I knew. I just thought she was so beautiful. I was totally into her. She was, like, engaged and all these other things. You know, I don't know how many other things are our past that, but you follow what I'm saying. She's totally engaged. She's untouchable. But I just was like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. And we had worked together, and I just... She was super talented and smart. And anyway, totally into her, right? And then we were at this event, and she was like, oh my God, Jeremiah, I have to show this to you. And I was like, show me what? I'm like, okay. You know, she's talking to me. I feel really good and confident, you know, because trying to put on the best air of, like, it's no big deal, you know? And then she holds up her phone, and she shows me my old, you know, this is back in the day, shows me my Tinder profile. And I'm like, what? And I've got this shocked look on my face. And she goes, I mean, it's wild, right? Like, I was engaged and, you know, you used to be married. Now you're single and I'm not engaged anymore. I'm like, oh, this is going
so well.
Oh my God. She's basically telling me, here's your profile, look at it. And then I said, wait a minute. Hang on a second. Did you just find this right now? And she goes, wait a minute. Is this a screenshot? This is a screenshot of my profile? And she went, I wanted to show you when I saw you. And I went, did you swipe left on me? And she went, and I was like, you swipe left on me? You didn't even swipe right? Like, we know each other. Like, we're, you know, she's like, well, I mean, we're friends. And I was like, I have to go across the room now and cry in a corner. And she was like, oh my God, are you serious? I'm like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine here. Everything's fine. And I played it off like I was kidding, but I wasn't kidding. It was painful because I was rejected and she swiped left of me. She didn't even swipe right. Isn't there a rule out there that you swipe right if you know the person just to be like, hey, I saw you too? Isn't that a thing?
I don't think that's a rule.
That should be a rule. It should be a rule. Anyway, it was a horrible moment of rejection. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Doc. It was painful, and I wanted to share that. Rejection happens to everybody.
Let's pause for a moment, because that's a legitimate question. Should you swipe left or swipe right on somebody that you know? And I would say, like, it probably depends on the relationship, because if it's like, oh, look, I saw my coworker, Jan, and then you swipe right.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That
could really create an awkward circumstance for the allegorical Jan here, right?
You're probably right, Doc. Okay, so let me rephrase.
I don't know that that is a rule, nor should it be.
I think it should be a rule under the certain circumstances, which means if I liked you, you should have swiped right on me.
Then I absolutely disagree that should be a rule. I think the rule is people should do what they feel comfortable with. That's the rule.
Thank you, Doc, for bringing clarity to all. But this did happen. It is a true story. Yeah. And so it was a bit of a... It was a bit of a rough moment to be rejected by somebody that I was so attracted to and thought was so amazing. But that happens, and I got back up on the horse and everything was fine. So, yeah. I mean, give us some help here, Doc. How can we help others?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's pretty clear that what we're talking about, this idea that, like, rejection is normal and it's going to happen to you, right? So I think one of the first steps in terms of navigating some of this is some acceptance, right? Setting realistic expectations. Like, for instance, let's say you're someone that wants to go out and start maybe more actively dating, right? If you approach that with an expectation that everyone's going to like you and everyone's going to want you, right? Like, then that's going to be pretty hard because you're probably not going to meet that expectation. Sometimes people are going to swipe left, or if you're dating in person, sometimes people aren't going to want to have a conversation with you. Sometimes people are just not going to be into you. And that doesn't mean that there's something horrifically wrong with you. It just means that just as you are not into everybody, everyone is not going to be into you. And so I think part of the first thing to do is start setting more realistic expectations. Like, people tend to adjust to things more effectively when they have a better expectation, right? Like, we talked about this, like, way back. You know, we've been doing this for so long. But
so,
like,
long, forever.
So long. In one of our earlier episodes, when we were talking about like online dating, it's a numbers game, right? Like, if you expect that you're just going to find your soulmate in like a week because you decided to get on Tinder or, you know, Plenty of Fish or whatever it might be, then, like, that's not a very realistic expectation, and you're going to end up having a lot of distress, right? Versus if you start to set an expectation that, like, it's pretty normal to have people, like, for instance, you know, we were talking about swiping left and right, but like a one that people come in my office and talk a lot about is like, I started this conversation with somebody and it was going really well, and then they just disappeared, right? Like, that's a really common thing that people, and then people talking about how they feel really rejected. And to that, I usually say two things. Number one, they don't even really know you. So I don't know that they can actually, like, super reject you as a person if they have no idea who you even are. But B, right? Like, you've got no idea why that person went away. Right? Like, you have no idea that they went away. Maybe they just were dating someone else. Maybe they were just kind of, you know, I'm not going to lie, some people do online dating just for funsies and they're not really actually interested in going out on dates with people. They like sort of the chase. It's another episode. We can talk about that.
I was going to say, that's a whole other episode, but I just love that you said funsies.
They did it for funsies. Very academic language,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Which, by the way, this is going to lead really well, I think, Doc, into our next topic, because we're talking about ghosting.
We are, right? So, and we'll get to that. And I think that this idea that, you know, sometimes when people are in these scenarios, like let's say it is a conversation that someone has started, you know, a lot of our own personal fears and insecurities tend to get really like, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of riled up by that. But oftentimes, like I talk to plenty of people, like they're sitting in my office, they're like, oh, I feel really bad. I started a bunch of conversations with people. And then I just kind of like got really like, you know, distracted with other things. And I forgot that I was having them, or I feel like, and then I avoided them too long. And then I feel bad because I really did want to talk to them, but now I'm avoiding. So like, you got no idea what's going on the other end. Right. And I think like one of the privileges of my job is like, I get to hear so many people's experiences that like, it really helps me believe that oftentimes when someone's not engaging with you or when there's rejection going on, it probably doesn't have to do with they think you're a terrible person and this deeper meaning about like you just not being globally good enough. Yeah, maybe they're not into you, but that doesn't mean that it's about literally you and your entity as a person. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense to me.
Because we have a tendency to catastrophize it. We have a tendency to treat it like it's this really big deal. So that would kind of be one of my other big pieces of feedback, right? Like, I often talk to people about like rejections that should feel like a slap or a sting, not like a festering wound, right? That you're carrying with you around, right? Like, for instance, Jeremiah, you told that story, right? I bet that stung a little.
It stung a lot.
Right. That stung a little. That was a little, you know, a little slap in the face.
It left a raspberry for a while, emotionally speaking. It
didn't feel so good, but at the same time, it sounds like it was something you were able to get over and move through and continue on with your life with relative ease.
Yes.
Yes.
And I swear I'm over it.
Yeah. And I mean, rejection always kind of stings, but I think sometimes, not all people, like some people, that's how it feels for them. And no one's going to like that. But here's, you know, we've talked often before on here about this idea that like sometimes you can't get something without giving something, right? And that's the risk, right? In order to get something like a relationship or a particular sexual experience, you're going to have to put something on the line, right? And part of that is being able to engage with difficult emotional experiences, such as feeling rejected sometimes. And so I think the other piece around this that I often talk to people about is, so rather than like trying to like perfect all of your approaches and like create some type of structure so you never get rejected, which I think is frankly impossible, or going to be really hard to do, investing them more of that energy in your own resiliency, right? Like your own capacity to get through that if that happens, right? Because it's okay that you fear rejection. I think it's silly to be like, well, just don't be afraid of it. No, it's not going to feel good. But you can be afraid and do it anyway. You can be afraid that someone's not going to like you and still go for something. And it's more about trusting that, like, but you're going to get over it, right? Like, it's not going to knock you down for long. It's not going to be the thing that defines you.
I'm with you. I think that was a great explanation. And you know what I love more than anything about it was, I tried to segue us into the second topic, but the doc was like, yep, that's great. Anyway, I have more to say and more to teach to people. And I just was like, roll, baby. Roll, roll, roll. And I just love it. It was one of those moments like, was that premature? Oh.
It was premature. It was premature. And you know what? I have one more thing to say about
Please rejection. Do. Don't worry about my push in the segue.
Sometimes when people are really afraid of being rejected, what they have a tendency to do is to then create some type of version of themselves or shape some type of version of themselves that they think that other people want, right? So they create this like sort of like perfect version of themselves in hopes that they won't be rejected. And what I will often say is, A, that tends to not be sustainable. Nope. Because that's not who you are, right? Right. So if somebody buys that version of you, that's probably not going to go well over the long run because Correct. You can't sustain that because it's not authentic. Right. But another piece of that is often people forget that a really, really important component of likability is authenticity. People don't like perfect people. They're annoying. Right. Because you know that they're faking because no one's perfect. Right. When someone presents themselves as like really perfect and having it all together, you look at kind of studies and stuff around that. that's not actually a super likable characteristic.
Is that why people don't like me? Is that why people get grumpy with me?
There are other reasons people don't like you, Jeremiah. I don't know that that's... I'm just kidding. Everyone I know loves you. You're beloved.
Oh, tell me more.
Beloved among all.
I'm sorry,
did I
continue.
Fix that? Did I fix that correctly?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's great.
Ego unwounded.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very fragile.
You're welcome. But anyway, so like the last piece that I would say on that is being authentic might actually be a way better route to actually experiencing less rejection. Because a lot of times people can feel that energy. People can feel that energy if you're trying too hard to be this very perfect version of something or this really manicured version of something. And they might not be able to name it, but they can feel it, right? And you don't feel authentic. And as a result, you might actually create a self-fulfilling prophecy in which you are less likable.
I totally agree with this. And because she's a doctor and I'm not, I'm going to say unequivocally, just don't do that. Just don't do that. Just be yourself. Because really, at the end of the day, isn't the goal to be with somebody so you can just genuinely be you and find a partner that would balance that world? So don't pretend. Just be you. Don't sell a bill of goods that isn't real. It's going to be helpful, I promise. The doc would say it in a much softer and more palatable way as a doctor, but seeing as I am certainly the furthest thing from one, I'm just going to say, don't do that. Just don't do that. It'd be better for you.
You also love a soapbox, so you know. That's true. You love a hard stance on a soapbox.
I do. So. I want to say it, and I want people to know that this is where I stand.
Yeah. And I would say to your soapbox, yes, to all those things, and as you would anticipate, and you know, sometimes it's hard to be authentic, right? That's a really scary thing. That's a really vulnerable thing. And so I also just, as always, like to say, like, if you're struggling with some of this stuff, like, that's real, right? That's why we're talking about it, because these are common struggles, right? It does sometimes feel counterintuitive to be like, just be me? Well, I'm an awkward weirdo. I don't want to just be me, right? But the reality is a lot of times awkward weirdos are super likable. And if you just, like, dive in and embrace it, you're probably going to have way better outcomes.
There you go. That's why you listen to the doc, folks. Big time. She puts things in such great ways. And I love her for it. I love you, doc.
I love you too, Jeremiah. So much fun. Love me.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to go back to what I tried to segue into, which was ghosting. But who's ghosting who and why? Building intrigue is what we do at the University of Pleasure. When we come back. And we're back, folks, for part two. And here it is. We met, and I didn't really feel you. So what now? To ghost or not to ghost? All right, so let's talk about ghosting, because this is what we were alluding to before. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of people get a lot of guilt about ghosting or get really upset if they're ghosted. Look, I'm just going to put it out there, okay? The world gets in the way. There are a lot of things going on. People have jobs, people have lives, people have family, right? And sometimes there might have been a nice little spark of connection. You might have chatted a little while and that person disappeared. You got to try not to take it personally. It's just my humble opinion, okay? And also, don't feel too bad that, you know, every once in a while, the world may have gotten in the way for you and you may have been having a good jive back and forth with somebody. And then all of a sudden, you forgot. And that's okay, too, like the doc was saying before. Am I saying anything? You're giving it a very interesting look right now. Like, you're just letting me roll like I'm hanging myself on my own rope.
No, I was just like, well, I guess Jeremiah's got it covered. So it's, bye.
There's much more to this. That's why there's a doc here. Yeah, I'm just, I have friends that tell me, they're like, you know, I was talking to somebody, I really liked them. And then all of a sudden he stopped talking to me or she stopped talking to me. And I'm like, yeah, that just happens, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so first, we should probably, one would think that most people, like, I don't like to assume that everyone knows what ghosting means. So just in case, right, ghosting means when you're talking to somebody and they just straight up disappear, right? And, like, the old school version of that would maybe be, like, you met someone at the bar and they were like, I gotta go to the bathroom. No, they just never come back.
Ooh.
Right? Like, I don't think we called it ghosting then, but it's sort of the online version,
right? Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
But Yeah, as you were saying, Jeremiah, I think we were talking about rejection, right? And as much as people don't like being rejected, a lot of us don't like rejecting other people. Like you were saying, it feels bad, we feel guilty, we feel cruel, mean, etc. And so what do people often do when there is an emotional experience that they don't want to have? They avoid. Right? Like, ooh, this makes me feel a way I don't want to feel. Let's just pretend it's not there, right?
Yeah.
So, and ghosting is sort of that act often of avoidance, right? Like, I met you, and I'm talking about this maybe more in the context of like newer dating relationships, right? We could extend this in different ways, conversation in different ways to long-term relationships. But for the sake of today's conversation, we'll narrow it in on like, you kind of go on a date, maybe it's like you go on one or two dates with somebody or you're having some texting or chatting conversations. And then it's sort of like, you kind of don't know what to do with it, right? I think especially after you've met somebody, there's often a lot of sort of conversation around like, what do you or do you not owe somebody in terms of like communication about, you know, if they're asking you out on another date. And by no means am I saying that I have the perfect answer or response on that, right? Because there's always variability. Like,
well, if you had a perfect answer, people wouldn't like you because being perfect is not a likable trait.
You are right. You were listening. Thank you, Jeremiah. You're appreciate it. Sometimes it just looks like you're waiting for your turn to talk. But I actually just kidding.
What? You know what? I'm going to say this to you folks. Okay. I have to be honest with you all right now. This is a very honest moment.
I hurt your feelings. Okay? I did. That was mean.
I learn just as much as many of you folks out there listening are learning from the doc. And the blank stare that she sees from across the camera is actually me going, like the hamster on the wheel inside my head, like working overtime. I'm like, wow, that's some deep shit. That's some smart stuff. I'm learning things. This is wow. And I really, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. So I'm actually not waiting to hear, we're not waiting to talk. I'm actually paying attention.
Well, that's good to know, Jeremiah. I will now interpret the glazed over look in your eyes as your learning face.
Sweet.
Moving forward. That is Jeremiah's learning process.
You ever seen that Mel Gibson movie, Man Without a Face? When the kid like kind of stares off into the distance, he goes into like a trance. That's basically the face I make when I'm thinking.
I've never seen the movie. Google. But it's fine. My thinking face looks super mean. So, you know, it is.
Between me looking off into space, drooling, and your mean face, we make quite a pair.
I always think you're not I always think you're not listening, and you always think I'm angry.
That's true.
That's
true. I'm like, this is our general. She's mad at me today. Getting together.
Okay, back on track. So, what I was talking about is avoidance, right? When we have like feelings about something that are a little difficult, a common tendency, not everybody, but a common tendency is to avoid, right? And so ghosting is sort of a manifestation of those. And I say this because a lot of times people might just so personally, not necessarily even professionally, be like, I went on a date, right? I went on a date with somebody and maybe they've gone on two, right? And you know, they're asking me if I want to go out again. I think I'm just not going to answer, right? Or should I answer? I don't really know if I should or I shouldn't. And again, I'm not saying that I have the ultimate right on this one, where like I know the absolute truth in terms of what to do. But for me, and this is probably my bias, I would say that I often think that it is better not to ghost. And I will explain why, if that is okay.
Please do.
Please do. Okay, good. Because I don't think we have anything else to talk about. So let's talk about. Nope.
Got nothing. Got nothing today.
Got nothing. All right. So the reason that I think it's often better not to ghost is for a couple of reasons, right? When people, like anyone that's had the experience of being ghosted, right? Often the way that that can make us feel is like insignificant, disrespected, right? Like that we don't really matter. And it just kind of makes you feel bad. And it kind of makes you feel shitty, right? There are maybe some people out there that prefer the ambiguity. They prefer not to know. But a lot of people with that ambiguity might start to create their own stories, right? Like, I didn't hear back from this person. What might that mean about me or how that went, right? And so then they might like take off to the races, right? And we often see in psychology that the more ambiguous something is, the more distress it creates for other people. So one of the first reasons might be just to be kind to your fellow human, right? That sometimes reducing that ambiguity can be helpful. And we can talk about in a minute, like ways to maybe close up, right? To close up with somebody.
Having when closure. Right?
To create some closure with somebody when you don't want to hang out again. But I think one of my big reasons would be, you know, because this may be respectful to another person and it helps them have a sense of closure around that. Also, straight up, if you don't want to hang out with someone again and you don't kind of close that door, then you now are in the position of maybe receiving another text or another phone call, right? Probably not a letter. I highly doubt it. But like some type of communication that maybe you aren't wanting, right? And now here's this thing again. It's this unresolved issue that's going to create anxiety for you, right? Because now you go, oh, this person, right? And it might create that guilt. Jeremiah, you talked about guilt. It might spring up some of that guilt. It might make you feel kind of bad. Which brings me to my third reason why I think it's often better to not ghost, which would be, in general, as humans, we tend to feel better when we're living in accordance with our own values, right? When we are doing things and that are consistent with the type of people we want to be, right? So for instance, if I see myself as a pretty respectful, kind, communicative person, and I'm not really doing that with another person, it's going to create what's called dissonance, right? And dissonance really is just a fancy word for internal conflict, right? It makes us feel bad and kind of yucky. And so oftentimes, even though it's like maybe a little bit of an anxiety provoking step to, let's say, text someone and say, hey, you know, I really enjoyed meeting with you, like meeting you or hanging out with you, but I'm not really interested anymore. Or, you know, I feel like this isn't the right fit for me. Thank you. Be well. Take care. Right. That might be anxiety provoking, but at the same time, it's probably going to also help you feel a little bit better about how you're behaving, right? And it might be in more consistent, it might be more consistent with kind of just the way you want to live your life in terms of being like a kind, compassionate person.
Which is something we always try to promote here. Just be, try to be a good human being, be a kind human being. And so I would, and that, and I would like to say, I would like to revise my earlier statements, because I'm learning here from the doc, and I think she's 100% right, as almost always, is to, yeah, let's find ways to close that door and not ghost. And I think there's a lot of really good reasons, because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. That's not who I am. And it does hurt in reverse. So I think this is good, Doxy. Again, I learned something here. That's why I was listening.
Good. Thank you, Jeremiah, for listening. If I may, there's also a few more things that I'd like to talk about on this topic.
If that's okay. You may, I mean, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremiah. I think one of the other things too around this is that just as someone that talks with a lot of people, I've had a lot of people personally and professionally talk to me about that, like someone followed up with them and responded to them and told them like, hey, I really appreciated meeting with you, but I think I'm just not going to continue on with this, but thank you so much. Like I've had so many people be like, I mean, that stung, but I really appreciated that, right? Because then I could move on, right? And I could like not be like, what up? What happened? What's going on with that?
For sure,
right?
For sure.
And so a lot of times, sometimes people assume like there is a scenario, and this is the friend, like a scenario in which one of my friends was saying like, oh yeah, I went on a date. She was like, I went on a date with this woman and I just wasn't interested. So I sent her a text, you know, she'd asked me at the end of the date if we could hang out again. And I said, yes. And then I was like, I didn't really mean that. And so I texted her after the date and said, you know, hey, I really appreciate meeting you and you asking to hang out again. But I think that, I didn't really feel like it was quite a good fit, but it was really great to meet you. And I hope you take care. Right. And my other friend was like, that is so harsh.
Yeah.
She was like, that's terrible. Why? You just should have ghosted her. And I was there and I was like, I disagree.
Yep. The doc stepped in.
I thoroughly disagree, right? Because of all those reasons that I just said. But the really interesting conversation was, you know, the friend that was like, why would you do that? She was like, well, I would never want to get a text like that, right? So to be fair, there might be times where you think you're being kind and compassionate, right? And the other person really would have rather you just avoided it and would have rather not heard that you're disinterested. But frankly, and this is purely anecdotal, I don't have any numbers to back it up, but based on what I hear people talking about and just maybe some basics of human psychology, I think that that's probably more the exception than the rule, right? I will also say that sometimes there are maybe some acceptable reasons to ghost. If someone's just really inappropriate or they made you feel unsafe, or do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you have to keep engaging. I just want to say that out loud.
Delete.
Yeah, like you don't need to keep engaging with someone if they're making you feel very uncomfortable or like any of that, right? I'm talking about scenarios in which like it really was just genuinely not a good fit and not what you were looking for. And they're very clearly like, you don't have to like after a date, if you both leave it kind of ambiguous, you don't have to run home and be like, I didn't like you and I don't want to hang out with you again, right? I'm talking, to be clear, about when someone has made it clear that they want to hang out with you again,
right,
that they
right,
want
right.
to spend more time together, just to help create some closure around that. Because otherwise, again, you might get more messages that you don't want to get or calls or whatever that you don't want to get. Or, you know, you might also just feel bad having that door still kind of swinging open and feel some guilt around that. So those would be my main reasons.
I like it. I even amended my thought process and I learned. Oh, the doc is waving at me. She wants to say something again.
I forgot. I have one more thing. Sorry. I'm glad you learned. I'm sorry to cut you off. The other reason, it allows you to practice assertive communication skills, right? If you can't have a difficult conversation in which you tell someone that you weren't interested, thank you so much, and one of your goals is to have a long-lasting, sustainable relationship, this is a skill you are going to need to have, because the more intimate you become with someone, the more often, right, you are going to have to be able to sit down and talk about some hard shit. And if you can't even sort of muster up that sort of courage and bravery to try to be like, hey, I just wasn't interested, it's going to be really hard to tell a partner in the future, hey, I'm not getting what I need sexually, or I feel really insecure, right? We've talked about a ton of different topics that can come up and things in long-term relationships. And so it's also a good way to start practicing assertive communication, non-avoidant communication styles. Assertive communication.
Assertive communication. I like that.
Slash non-avoidant communication styles, right? You're approaching the problem rather than running away from it, which frankly is a really good skill just generally in life, but definitely a good skill if one of the things you want to do is to have a sustainable romantic sexual relationship in your future.
Speaking of in the future, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a whole new topic. In case you haven't caught on by episode 14, this is kind of what we do. We'll be right back. And we're back. And the last topic of the day. I don't like saying last because it's so final. You know what I mean? Part 3. Is that cool, Doc?
Sure. You do you, man. Go for it.
Thanks, Doc. Exit stage left. Saying goodbye after a casual sexual encounter. Okay, this was actually really hard for me to learn when I was a younger man. Now, piece of cake, man. I'm like, I had such a great time just being respectful and just saying, hey, thanks so much. And maybe we can hang out again. You know, just very respectful, very easy, you know, no big deal, because it's no big deal. But I also would set it up as no big deal in the beginning, which I kind of want to talk with you here, little doc. I don't know why I said little doc. I'm having problems speaking sometimes when I talk to you. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting nervous. But I wanted to say that, you know, when we're talking about exiting stage left, after a sexual encounter, is it good to maybe set it up in the beginning in a way that is casual and easy? Is that something that would then help your exit? I don't know. Help me out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when I was thinking about this topic, I was thinking about it more specifically when it's been kind of arranged that it's going to be more of a casual encounter.
All right.
Right?
So we're just making that clear. So we've already arranged that it's a casual encounter.
Arranged, but your question now has my gears turning. And I think it's a good question, right? Like if it's sort of ambiguous, right? All the stuff I'm going to say would probably still apply.
Okay.
Right? I'm really more talking about if it was casual to you.
Okay. Got it. So if it was casual to you, hit us.
And yes. And if I may say so, ideally, yes, though, to your point, Jeremiah, we've talked about this in previous episodes, if your intention is for it to be casual, it's pretty good to kind of let the other person know that that's sort of your intent, just, you know, because that can help solve some future problems.
Agreed.
But that's more of a side piece.
Okay, so we've already set it up that it's a casual encounter. It's casual to us, the person. How do we exit left?
Okay.
How do we say goodbye without having like 80 goodbyes, uncomfortable moments? Like, you know, like, yeah. Oh, it was great. Goodbye. Can I have a glass of water? Goodbye. You know, like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, high five. One second, I forgot my wallet.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, maybe I'll be calling, or maybe I won't call, or maybe, hey, you know, did you have a good time? Were you happy? So many awkward moments.
So, I gotta be honest. I'm not sure that there is like a right way to do this, and I don't know that I certainly know the right way, but I do know that this is an issue that people bring up a lot, and both professionally, personally, around like, the goodbye. The goodbye is so uncomfortable, right? And that it's just a very anxiety-provoking scenario. For whatever reason, goodbyes are really awkward for people. I think even just goodbyes with friends sometimes, I think because it just feels abrupt, right? Like, everyone has that scenario where you're, like, walking to the car with your friend and you said goodbye, and then all of a sudden you realize you have to walk another block and a half, like, together, and you're done, awkward. And you're like, well, shit, we closed this up, and now we gotta keep it going. Let's talk about the weather, I guess. And then it just creates some awkwardness. So I think in general, goodbyes can be awkward. But I think part of that might be just as humans, I think we often just create some pressure to have closure around things, to like tie things in a neat bow. And sometimes that's just not consistent with life. Sometimes that's just not always possible, right? I think in a casual sexual encounter, there can often be a lot of difficulty in finding the right way to end. I can find it maybe can be difficult to find a way to end because you don't maybe plan on seeing that person again, right? And you weren't incredibly connected to them in the first place, right? And that creates this bit of a quandary just because you don't know them well enough to like have a lot of like meat for that conversation, right? Like there's not a lot of conversation fodder because you maybe don't really know each other well and you don't have some type of established intimacy. And so I think just some things to consider, right? Some things that I think can be helpful. And again, I'm not saying I have the right answer to this because I think to a certain degree, part of it is accepting that it probably is going to be a little awkward.
Doc, I don't mean to stop you. I'm not sure you're aware that we are on the University of Pleasure and people are looking for answers. You don't have to tell them you don't know. They'll believe you.
I think that there's power in admitting what you don't know. I think that is part of wisdom and learning.
I hate when you zing me like that. All right, fine.
You can't learn if you don't acknowledge you don't know in the first place.
God, you're smart.
Anyway.
Fine, you're right. Okay, give us what you think would be helpful.
Okay. Well, I think one of the first things that I would say is that in an encounter, trying to remember that you don't owe anyone anything, right? Like you don't owe somebody some type of beautiful goodbye. So here's one really probably big piece of feedback I would say, don't say shit you don't mean. Don't tell someone that you want to hang out again and promise that you're going to connect again. If you are standing there knowing that this was just a one-time deal for you and you really have no interest in hanging out again, I don't think you need to be like, well, I don't want to see you again. Thank you. Goodbye.
Ooh, that would burn. Right? Ooh, that would burn.
Right. But I think you can certainly say, I had a lot of fun meeting you. Thank you so much. You know, take care. It was really good to meet you, and leave. If you don't want to connect again, but you start going on about like, yeah, we should totally do this again, and that is literally the opposite of what you want, I don't suggest that, right? Because now, again, like we were talking about last time, you set up a set of expectations that maybe are both harmful to you and the other person, or at the very least, you're going to create some distress. So does that part make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me. I was just listening. Again, learning, listening to the doc.
I should have never said you didn't look like you were listening. I'll never to the end of this. Okay.
Okay. So I did have a hard time with this when I was younger, Doc. So if I may explain what I mean by that. Like when I was younger, first of all, I think I've told in past episodes that, you know, I struggled with casual sex, you know, when I was younger because of, you know, religious things and, you know, being from a conservative family, what have you. So there was a lot of guilt that went along. And then when I would have a sexual encounter that was casual, even when I kind of would set it up as being a casual encounter, I always did struggle at the end because I never wanted to be hurtful to the person, even if I didn't want to see them again. Like, it was a one-time thing, like you were just saying a second ago, right? And I actually had a dear friend of mine, and I think I talked about him in the past episodes, who kind of, like, talked me through this and was like, just be real. Just be honest. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about that. Like, you know, again, not going into the idea that, oh, I had a really nice time, but I never want to see you again. That's, you know, that's too honest. You know, but you can just say, hey, I had a really nice time, like the doc was saying, and literally say, thank you so much, and take care. Or if you want to see them again, hey, look forward to hanging out again sometime. Just be real and be honest is what I came to find. And so the two things that I'd like to kind of throw in here, doc, that I came to discover, and you tell me what you, if it was set up as a casual experience and we're like, hey, listen, I'm in this situation, I'm just looking to have a nice time, and I just want to be very open about that. And then you have that nice time, that also opens the ability to just be honest at the end of the night and say, hey, thank you very much. Just thank you. That was such a wonderful time. And, you know, if you didn't love it that much or it wasn't the greatest, you can just say, hey, thank you so much for hanging out. I had a really, you know, nice time, and just be polite. And that might be a little bit of a white lie in there, but it's just being respectful and kind, which is what we're all about at the University of Pleasure. Right. And it really took me a long time to understand that aspect of things, of just being honest, being straightforward, and being kind at the end of the night. And you don't have to have like 80 goodbyes. I mean, I was the worst. Like, I mean, when I tell you the worst, I was that guy that would awkwardly stand there like, yeah, so cool. You want to have a glass of water, or how are you feeling about that? So do you need the bathroom? Nobody likes yeast infection, you know. Couldn't be more awkward if I tried. So having that conversation with my friend who was like, just be honest, say thank you, and set it up. And as long as you're honest in the beginning and you're honest at the end, you know, again, very much based on like what you were talking about before, Doc, about, you know, living by your own standards, you know, that, you know, what was it you said? Yeah. I got so upset when I hit the computer.
When you behave in ways that are congruent or are consistent with your own values, right? So if you want to be a respectful, kind, compassionate person, an honest person, if you're doing that, then you're going to probably feel better, right?
Yep. Throughout that. That's process. Exactly what I was talking about. Yep.
Right. And so if I made you, Matt, I think you said something very important.
Oh.
Can I say that more condescending? Oh. I think you said something super important.
Wait, but you know, did you hear my reaction? I was like, oh, I did? Oh.
I was but like, I do, right?
The doc thinks I'm smart.
Right. This is this idea of like, that's why we talk often about this idea of like just being honest about what you want and what you're interested in. And if you do that in the beginning, then yeah, it's so convenient. You don't have to make something up at the end. You don't have to lie about something else because you were very clear. And the other person, again, we talk a lot about expectations. The other person has a clear expectation. Now, that doesn't mean that that's always going to work perfectly. That doesn't mean that the other person wasn't like kind of secretly hoping that maybe you would want more. Or maybe, frankly, you were like your socks were knocked off and you thought you wanted casual and then you changed your mind. People change their mind. You have the right. But if you're honest about things from the very beginning and you just keep that consistent, it makes all of this stuff way less mental work, like way less mental work. Often in my office, people will talk about like, well, what should I tell this person? And I say, the truth.
Just tell them the truth. Just be honest.
The truth is often the simplest thing, right? And sometimes that's a really scary thing to do, but it's a practice, right? Because I think the more people do this, the more they realize like, wow, that is way less emotional work and way less emotional loading for me to like just say, you know, I had a nice time, but yeah, I was interested in this as a casual encounter. Again, especially if you find yourself in a scenario where maybe you did set an expectation and someone starts maybe saying that they want something different. But it really, it makes it a lot easier to get out of a pickle. I'm going to tell you that.
See that. And that's what we're all about here. We want you to get out of a pickle a little bit easier at the University of Pleasure, right, where we are learning. Okay, what?
Oh, I was just going to say, I didn't know if you were closing up shop, but I had one more thing to say.
Okay, say it. About I will not close up shop until you are damn good and ready.
This is about goodbyes. I really encourage people to try not to sneak out unless they have a very good reason to sneak out, right? So there might be a good reason to sneak out if something was really, I don't know, unsafe or didn't feel right, then okay, permission granted. But if you're sneaking out because you just are trying to avoid and are feeling awkward, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's probably gonna be like way more stressful to like get up and find your shit and be sneaking around the house and hope their dog doesn't bite you and doing all that than it would be to just tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm taking off. It was so great. Have a nice day. So they also don't wake up in a fugue state wondering what the hell happened,
right,
where you are. And I think that that's, and again, that's sort of the same idea. This idea that like it might sometimes approaching stuff and just dealing with a moment of awkwardness is 1,000 times easier than trying to avoid it. It's this kind of myth that we tell ourselves that avoidance makes things easier for us. But in the end, it often makes things much more anxiety provoking, way more stressful. And then again, it leaves it open-ended and it kind of leaves that icky feeling around.
Yep. And you don't want to feel icky and you don't want the partner you're just with to feel icky, because again, we keep saying here at the University of Pleasure, just be kind, be respectful, try to be a good human. And it, you know, if you can do those things, you can be honest in the beginning, be honest at the end, you're going to feel a lot better. Right, Doc?
Right. And side note, sometimes when people are, if we're talking about like sneaking out, sometimes people feel like they have to do that because they're still, you talked earlier about Jeremiah, like some people struggling with like maybe shame or having some conflicted feelings about wanting casual sex, right? I think sneaking around sort of even to yourself sends this message that you're doing something wrong.
Correct.
And if you, right, like if you are having a casual, consensual encounter with another adult, right? Sometimes behaving in a way as though you have nothing to be ashamed of can help you actually feel like you have nothing to be ashamed of, right? If you stand up straight and you say, thank you, I had a great time, rather than sneaking out in the night like a criminal, right? I think one is going to help you feel a lot more secure about your decision and your behaviors. And I think that that's just kind of a broader note on this kind of ongoing work that not everybody, but that some people are doing around just trying to feel better about letting it be okay that they might want more casual encounters, or they might want certain things sexually that maybe historically were stigmatized or made to feel like they were wrong or they were bad. And I think that that's just behaving in the way you want to feel can sometimes be a really helpful tool and a really helpful strategy.
I feel like you should drop the mic right now. I feel like you should just hold your hand up and drop the mic, because there's been so much knowledge that you passed on today, but that like last little bit of knowledge wasn't any better than the other piece of knowledge, but it was just like, oh yeah. And a side note, that was like earth shattering. Like that, if you do that, it's going to make you feel worse, which is not something you want to do if you're already feeling shame. See, this is why I listen, because there's so much knowledge. And then I take that to the water cooler and I drop it on other people like it was my own idea. I love the University of Pleasure. Thanks, Doc.
You are welcome. You are very good at plagiarism.
Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jeremiah James, who's really good at plagiarism and the guy who likes talking about sex.
And I'm Dr. Tara Jansen, licensed psychologist and certified sex therapist.
Thank you always, folks, for tuning in. And we will be back next week with another episode. Dun, 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 dun. And we're going to talk more about the book. And very soon, we're going to be having our very first interview here at the University of Pleasure. Woo! I just hope we can make the tech work in this crazy COVID world. Everyone, please stay healthy, stay safe. And if that means staying home, I know they're talking about opening things up. But if it is staying home, please stay safe and stay home and all that jazz. And thank you to everybody out there that is taking care of all of us. We are very grateful to all of you. So we will talk to you again next Monday. I'll see you later, Doc.
Bye.
This episode of The University of Pleasure was produced, directed, and edited by me, Jeremiah James. It was written by Dr. Tara Jansen and me, Jeremiah James. The University of Pleasure theme music was written by the incomparable Robert Felstein. And please remember, we want to be as inclusive as possible of the diverse experiences of others here at the University of Pleasure. So please email us your suggestions for topics that might be suited to you directly, questions, feedback, or just really great sex stories at contact@universityofpleasure.com.